New Testament. Go to the book of Matthew, and we're going right near the end of it here. We're going to chapter 27 this morning. Matthew chapter 27. A word you may have heard in the news, I'm on title for the message this morning. I'm going to call it blood libel. Blood libel. Most of you know what libel means. You probably got liability insurance on your car, hadn't you? Don't confess if you haven't. We understand what it is to be liable for something. We also understand what it is to be libeled, I think. I think if you look it up in the dictionary, it's got a lot of meanings, but we understand it in probably in the best in that way. Somebody libeled you, they probably said something untrue about you, told a scandal on you or something, and sometimes you can go to court and maybe get some help, and maybe you can't. What do you do about it? I heard the story of a handyman that was a good man, church man, and he went around and worked fixing things and for people, and there was a couple of widows that lived not too far from each other, and one of them was a pretty bad gossip. In fact, she was worse than that. She was always looking for a scandal. And so the handyman was at the other widow's house and doing some work, but when he started to leave on Friday afternoon, his truck wouldn't start. So he got permission and he left it there, and it was Saturday before he could come back and get it fixed and get it going. So the second widow that had a loose tongue, she was beginning to tell all week his truck was there all night at her house. Everywhere he went the next week, he heard, "Your truck was there all night, and widow so-and-so is really telling on you. What are you going to do about it?" He didn't say nothing. But the next Friday night, he just went, parked his truck, and left it at her house. You got to have kidneys for that, amen? Matthew chapter 27, let's begin in verse 1. We're going to read about 8 verses, skip over to a couple of others. Said, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed thee innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood." And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day, and by the way, it still is. Skip on over with me to verses 24 and 25 in this same chapter. I'm sure you're familiar now with what's going on here at the story of the crucifixion of Christ. Verse 24, when Pilate, that's the Roman governor, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Now here in the context, we know that Judas has betrayed Christ the night before. We know it's been a long night of what we would call today, in fact, probably this is where it gets its name, a kangaroo court, a false trial, where they shuffle Jesus from one leader to another. And by the way, that goes on a lot in the world today. With all that's wrong with America, we better thank God for the system we still have. It's above most anywhere else. If you saw in the news even this week, and I was telling somebody this morning, this goes on all the time, hardly ever makes the news. But right now in Iran, they are fixing to put a pastor to death for one charge: he's a Christian. They claim sometime in his past he converted from Islam, so they've given him a false trial and they've condemned him to death. And now that the news has got out a little bit, maybe some folks will rise up and maybe he'll be spared, but how many never make the news? And folks, we still live in a day and time when martyrs for Christ are happening all the time. Daily, if you could see the whole world. But here in our story, and the truth here, we find that Judas betrayed, he was used to the devil. The Bible says Jesus said, I've chosen you 12, and isn't one of you the devil? And we know the human body of Judas was used by Satan. Satan came inside of him and used him to betray the Lord. But young people, listen to me, when the devil got through with him, he forsook him. And Judas went out and hanged himself because he couldn't live with the guilt. Now today we're saying a few things about abortion. I want to say to you, there's a lot of women that made the mistake, and then let me say two wrongs don't make a right. And even if that baby was conceived wrongly, it's still wrong to kill it. And a lot of women hurting from the guilt of abortion, so-called abortion. And it goes with them. Judas couldn't live with it. He went out and hanged himself because he said here, when he threw the money down, he said, I betrayed, and I want you to watch the word, the innocent blood. Not just innocent blood, but the innocent blood. Now, we had in the news not too long ago when the shooting took place. Where was it? Out in Arizona, when the crazy man opened up a gun and began to shoot all the people and shot the congresswoman through the head. Kathy Guilford, I believe, was her name. And the miracle is that she did live through it. No telling what complications will come from it yet. But when that happened, the liberal media, wanting to blame conservatives for everything, said it was the fault of the conservative rhetoric that was going on, and tried to blame it on what we would call the religious right. And this guy, he was none of that. He was worse than a liberal. He was a crazy nut. But you see the liberal media always trying to blame something like that when it happens. And in that accusation, they spoke up against some of the ones that are conservative, like Sarah Palin, and she came back with this statement, you can't put that blood libel on us. And that drove the uneducated media nuts. Because they said, oh, she's used this wrong. So they went to some of the professors at college and found out she used it right. She was smarter than they thought she was, and they were dumber. Amen? But anyway, there's a whole Bible doctrine that goes from cover to cover, you might say, in the Bible that deals with this thing of shedding innocent blood. You can follow it all the way through. And I want to talk to you a little bit about it this morning. I want you to see some truths. You see, the first blood we had shed was in the Garden of Eden, remember? Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, and when the Lord came and confronted them in the cool of the day, when he came and when he clothed them, he had to shed innocent blood of the animals when he took their skin. And you find out that was a preview, a promise, if you please, that God would one day cover man's sin with innocent blood. Amen. And that promise is a covenant, you might call it that, with God that runs all the way through the Word of God. And I want to say some truths about this thing of blood libel, or about this thing of the doctrine of the innocent blood that you find through the Word of God. I hope you'll follow along with me this morning. And I want to say the first thing that innocent blood does, it cries out to God. You have the first mention of that in the story of Cain and Abel, don't we? You remember there in Genesis chapter 4 how the boys, the brothers, are out in the field working? You remember how God has apparently told them what to do to worship him, and how Abel brings a blood sacrifice, but Cain brings of the works of his hands, of that he's grown, and he's proud of it. But he gets mad when God rejects his offering and takes the offering of Abel. And you remember what he did out in the field? He rose up and he killed his brother. But you see, like any sin, any crime, there's God to face. And God came to face Cain that day. And you remember what Cain, Cain tried to make excuse. Am I my brother's keeper? But you remember what God said? He said, the voice of your brother's blood crieth to me from the ground. I mean, God said it cried from the ground. Now, you can follow that truth through the Word of God. As you get on into the nation of Israel going up before the Lord, and one king after another, one king is good, another is bad. And you have one that is pretty well famous for being one of the worst kings, evil kings, that you find in the history of Israel. His name was Manasseh. And if you use your Bible with me just a little bit this morning, go to 2 Kings with me. 2 Kings, and we'll look at chapter 24, and we'll see one of the charges made against the nation of Israel because of King Manasseh. And we pick it up in chapter 24, 2 Kings. I want you to look at it with me in verse 4. In verse 4. And it's talking about now the sins of Manasseh in verse 3. It says, surely the commandment of the Lord came this. Let me get it right. Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah. That's judgment that's fallen. To remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. Now let's see what he did. Verse 4. And also for the innocent blood that he shed. For he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood which the Lord would not pardon. You say, well, what? How did he do that? Well, let's go over to Psalms. Go over to the Psalms chapter 106. I'm going to wait on you just a moment because I'm wanting you to see something here. In Psalms 106, pick it up with me in verse 38. And shed, talking about now, them sacrificing their sons and their daughters to the devils in verse 37. And shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. Watch it now, and the land was polluted with blood. Now you can follow this thing through the Bible, this sin, this judgment on that sin, this thing of shedding innocent blood. Do you understand there's nothing any more innocent than babies? Can you understand that? Somebody says, well, when does life come? Stephen mentioned it the other day. In Jeremiah chapter 1, you read over there where God told spoke of Jeremiah, and he said, when I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. Yeah. I mean, brother, in the womb, God had a plan for Jeremiah. In the womb, he intended for Jeremiah to do just what he did. And he tells, so when did life come? Jeremiah was alive in the womb. Yeah. And God spoke about that. Do you read in the New Testament where God warns, where Jesus warned about not offending one of these little ones? He said, if you do, it'd be better to have a what? A millstone tied about your neck and thrown in the water. Now, if you don't know, I know what a millstone is. I remember when I was a kid going to the mill with Daddy to see the corn ground up. And I want to tell you something, brother. You won't swim very far with a millstone around your neck. And Jesus said, if you offend one of these little ones, that's the judgment. That's what I think of them. He said, suffer to let the little children come unto me. And by the way, I say to you today, what's being done in this country is an offense to God Almighty as kids are being abused and kids being destroyed. And by the way, they're being abused mentally. They're being abused with what they're being taught. And they're being abused today as they're taught against God. All of that, I believe, is bringing the judgment of God upon our country. I want to say to you that this sin of shedding innocent blood brings a libel with it. And it cries out to God Almighty. I'll say something else that innocent blood does. It calls for a reaping of the same. Do you understand you reap what you sow? Always reap what you sow. And if you look in the Bible, you see this thing of the innocent blood being shed and how that it calls for a reaping. I can give you all kind of Old Testament examples. How about the story of Pharaoh? Remember Pharaoh? Remember what he began to look and see the Israelites in his land? They were multiplying. He got scared about that. You remember how he went to the midwives? And he said to the midwives, he said, now when you're helping with these Jewish women give birth, He said, now when it's a boy baby, he said, you destroy it, you kill it. Well, the midwives didn't do it. And he came back and he asked them why, and they made excuse. But the truth, the scripture says, was they feared God more than the Pharaoh. And so when he came back, they said, well, these Hebrew women, they're a little bit stronger than the Egyptian women. And before we can get to them, they've already given birth. That was not quite true. Pharaoh knew it wasn't. So then he gives the order to everybody, to all of them, destroy the male babies. And he told them to throw them in the river, to throw them in the water. You see, when Jochebed put Moses in the rivers, in a sense, she was obeying the Lord, only instead of Pharaoh, because she put him in an ark. But you know, interesting thing, time goes on. Moses grows up. Remember the story? And how he confronts Pharaoh, and how he says, let my people go. Remember the story? And you remember how the plagues came from God on Egypt. And you remember what the last plague was? A baby died. The firstborn of Pharaoh. See the sowing and the reaping? Pharaoh said, kill the male childs. And at that last plague, God killed his own child. By the way, do you know how Pharaoh perished? Don't ask Hollywood. In the Ten Commandments, they let the Pharaoh come back. He didn't come back. He became fish bait. He got buried in the water. He had happened to him exactly what he wanted to do to Moses and all the other babies. God lets the reaping take place, and it's always the same. You reap what you sow. And the innocent blood calls for the reaping of the same. Now, you can go through the Bible. You can pick up other stories. Remember a bad queen by the name of Jezebel? Remember, she had she was the head that turned the king, old Ahab. I mean, brother, R.G. Lee said he was a toad that squatted on the throne, but she was the viper by his side. And the truth was, that was a bad combination. And one day she goes in and she finds old Ahab laying on the bed, and he's pouting. Now he's going to bed in the middle of the day. And she comes in and basically says, big boy, what's the matter with you? And he says, well, Naboth's got a vineyard over here, and it's pretty, and it's side of my land, and I like it, and he won't give it to me. Boo-hoo. Sort of like that. You know what Jezebel done, don't you? She said, well, cheer up, I'll get it for you. So she begins to write some letters out, and she falsely accuses, she libels Naboth. And she has him arrested and brought in, and some false witnesses charge him with blasphemy. And under the penalty of the law, they pick up the stones and they stone him right outside the gate. They not only stone him, they stone the little sons that would have been heirs to the vineyard. And their blood runs out, that's all over the ground. And Jezebel comes back to King Ahab and said, now his vineyard belongs to the state, it's yours. Oh yeah, only thing is she forgot God. She forgot God. Some time goes on and the prophet Elijah comes and he sees Ahab going down to take possession of Naboth's vineyard. Remember the story? And Elijah steps out from behind a bush, I believe, and steps in the face of Ahab and scares him to death. And the king looks at him and he said, oh, have you found me, O my enemy? And Elijah said, hast thou killed, and now you're going to take possession? And Elijah made a prophecy. He said, in the place where the dogs lick Naboth's blood, they're going to lick yours. A lot of time went by. Ahab did a few good things. A lot of time went by. But I believe every time old Ahab heard a dog bark, he jumped. Because the prophet had said, one day, where they lick Naboth's blood, they're going to lick yours. You remember the story, how he goes out into battle and he disguises himself. And he's scared, but he's out there in the battle and he's disguised. But a bowman pulls an arrow at a venture. That means he don't have a target. It means he just said, I'm going to arch it over and see what God does with it. And that nameless bowman shot an arrow, and that arrow went up in the air. And it didn't hit the lieutenants and the corporals. It picked out the king, though he was disguised. Hey, you can't disguise yourself from God. And the arrow not only hit King Ahab, it found a little crack in his harness, in his armor. And you know what the king said to his chariot driver? He said, I'm wounded. Hold me up, I'm wounded. And so the driver fled back from the battle and went back to the gate. But Ahab died. He bled to death in the chariot. And the Bible says, don't even give the man's name, just says one took the chariot down to the pool to wash it out. And he washed the blood out of the chariot right at the place where they set Naboth on high and stoned him. Right where Naboth's blood was shed, so did the dogs lick Ahab's blood. Just like the Bible tells us, and just like Elijah prophesied against Ahab. You see, Ahab had a blood libel that he was having to answer for. He had that he was liable for. I want to say to you today, as we look around today, America is now reaping a blood libel, an accusation, if you please, from God. If you want to look around today and say, what's the matter with our country? Where have our morals gone? How come we're accepting everything in the world that used to be taboo and is wrong and is sin and so named in the Bible? Why are we accepting it today? I want to tell you why. Because our moral foundation has been ripped apart. And our kids have been raised to not know right from wrong. And the standard of morality is gone. And it started a long time back. It started back when our kids got taught in school they were animals instead of creations of God. Started back when they were taught they evolved instead of being created. Started back with a doctrine that the devil raised up. We call it Darwinism today. Or the existence of the strongest of the species, a bunch of junk. And behind abortion and behind genocide is the doctrine of Darwinism or evolution. Do you understand in 1949, when communism took over in China, the first book brought to the classroom was not Marx's book, not Lenin's book, but Darwin's book, Evolution. You see, you watch communism, and just the stats we know about, 100 million souls were killed in that takeover of communism. You see, if you teach the kids, there's no God to answer to. It's just the strongest that survive. If you teach them there's no right and no wrong, I want to say to you, you've got to teach them that for them to act like we have been seeing for the last several generations. You see, today abortions are going wholesale across the country because there's no conscience about it. There's no conscience because the foundation's been destroyed. And they're taught we're here by accident. We came out from under a rock. We evolved from a monkey. And we have no God to answer to. No wonder we have no foundation to relate to. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's a terrible, terrible thing. 100 million lost in that. Today, since 1973, with the passage of Roe versus Wade, and by the way, the woman that was involved in that case later, years later, got saved and tried to come back and get it undone because she was just used anyhow. But they wouldn't let it. And since 1973, do the arithmetic, we've had, by stats now, no telling how many that the stats didn't know about, but by the stats since 1973, 60 million lives of babies have been stuffed out in America alone. 60 million? I didn't say thousand, I said million. 60 million. You see, God's also making us reap for that. Say, well, our economy is in a mess. Well, we would have had 60 million to help out, but we don't have them now. I mean, they would have bought houses and cars and held jobs and paid taxes. Where are they at? America has a blood libel charged against it by God. Definitely does. Darwinism taught the kids it's all right for that. It's okay. That sort of thing. Today, 60 million. You say it's a woman's choice. Well, that's backfiring a little bit. As a woman's choice, the women today, the women liberals today, are complaining that more girls are being killed than boys. See, the sonogram has come. And you see in places like China where they have a rule of two children to the family. You see, that's the plan, and they're promoting that in America now. But you understand what they're doing, because they don't have the welfare system over there that we do. And welfare in China was to raise up a boy strong enough to take care of mom and dad. Help yourself. It's the truth. So what's happened now? The balance of one boy and one girl is out of whack. Ladies, I don't know if this sounds good or bad to you, but if this trend continues and Jesus don't come, you are going to be living in a man's world. You're going to be outnumbered bad, because that's the way the stats are running right now. And the woman liberals are complaining more girls are being aborted. But it's a woman's choice. Bad choice you made. Very bad choice. It had has God's charge against you. Government taxes involved. A lot of states now, praise God, a lot of states are saying no more tax money for abortions. Yet in Kansas, just recently, it's in court right now, a liberal federal judge just ordered the Kansas legislature to restart the funding of Planned Parenthood, which is nothing. They said, well, some of the Planned Parenthood clinics are going to have to close if you don't give them some tax money. Let the butcher shops close. Amen. That's what they are. But we're finding out it's not government by the people anymore. It's government from headquarters. And there is a plan by the social engineers to deal with the population on planet Earth, because planet Earth's become God now. Mother Gaia, if you please. And their plan is that we are overstuffing planet Earth. Oh yeah, that's the social engineer talk that's going on. And yes, they want to take my money and your money that you send in and help pay to murder babies. You say that's crude. That's truth. That's solid, solid truth. Let me say this to you. The call of innocent blood calls for a reaping. I'll say this. The charge of innocent blood also curses a nation before God. God puts a blood libel on a nation. I gave you an example. If you were to go over to 1 Kings, and I'm trying to do this fast for time, but 1 Kings chapter 2, if you were to get over there in 1 Kings chapter 2, you'd read where Solomon has come to the throne. He's followed King David now to the throne. King David had gotten old, and he'd gotten weaker, and he got intimidated. He'd gotten kind of messed up by a fellow by the name of Joab that was a captain of his host. Joab was the one that set Uriah in the front of the battle and caused Uriah to be killed so David could have Bathsheba his wife. Remember the story? Well, then Joab held that over David's head, and David could no longer order him around. Joab pretty much became his own boss. And in so doing, he went out and he killed a couple of men that he shouldn't have, that were not guilty, and David couldn't do a thing about it. Now Solomon's come to the throne, and if I pick it up for you in 1 Kings chapter 2, I want you to pick it up with me. In verse 31, King Solomon now has sent a man out, an officer if you please, to take Joab, to kill Joab, to avenge the innocent blood. I pick it up in verse 31 of 1 Kings 2. And the king said unto him, do as he hath said. Joab's went into church to save himself. He went and got a hold of the horns of the altar and said, I'm not coming out. And so Solomon said, okay, go in there and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away what? The innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. What was Solomon saying? He said, I want to get out from this libel. Joab, without my father's knowledge, went out and killed innocent men, and we are under the charge, libel of innocent blood. And he said, here, I want you to take it away from my government. Take it away. You see, innocent blood curses a nation before God. You see, what you have in innocent blood, you have the depth of guilt calling for judgment. And Solomon said, I'm going to get it off of us. I'm going to have this man killed. I'm going to return his blood on his own head. You look a little further, as I read to you in the text, verse 24 and 25. Verse 24, Pilate saw that he could avail nothing, but that rather atonement was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and on our children. You understand what Pilate did? Pilate called for a basin of water, and he washed his hands in front of the crowd. He knew Jesus was innocent. He knew that for envy they delivered him. And he was trying to get out from all the charge, the libel, if you please, of innocent blood. And so he begins to wash his hands. You see, we think Pilate just thought that up. No, he didn't. See, if you were to go back, and don't have time for it, but if you were to go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 21, you have a remedy given for trying to get out from all the libel of innocent blood. You find that when a man had been slain outside of a city, nobody knew who, God told him to call for the elders and measure to the closest city. Bring the elders out of that city. He had a sacrifice of a heifer, and these elders had to come out and wash their hands, claiming they knew nothing about the murder, to get out from under the charge of innocent blood on their city. When Pilate washed his hands, he was going through a Jewish ritual trying to cleanse himself, because he was going along with something he knew was wrong and something that should not have happened. And I want to say to you, he tried, but he didn't get away from it. History tells us he went nuts. He went crazy in his old days. People would see him leave his house and go down to the creek, to the stream of water, after hours and in the moonlight, scream and holler and try to wash his hands. He couldn't get the blood off. He tried, but he couldn't. You see, Pilate knew a little bit about the remedy there in Deuteronomy chapter 21. He knew and was trying to get out from under it. I want to say to you this truth today. Why, you say, what do you mean? A blood libel. I mean, it cries out to God. I mean, it calls for a reaping. I mean, it curses a nation before God. And I want to say to you, worse than that, it's a curse upon all mankind. So what do you mean, preacher? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Say, the Romans crucified Christ. They had their part. You say, the Jews called for him to be crucified. Yes, they did. But you and I crucified him. He was nailed because our sins nailed him to the cross. He was speared because our sins put the spear in his side. He had a crown of thorns on his head, but it was because of our sins. He died taking my place and your place. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? We all have a blood libel from that. You see, I want you to notice when I read the text, we read it over here in verse 4 of the text this morning, verse 4 of chapter 27, betrayed the innocent blood. Not innocent blood, but the innocent blood. You got another version of the Bible, that thee won't be there. That's a definite article. It's just as much the Word of God, and it's very important. That's why I say not one jot, not one tittle needs to be messed with. And in your King James Bible, it says thee. Because, you see, God was referencing the fact that started with the animals in the garden and come up through Cain and Abel and come up through Manasseh and all of his sins of sacrificing the babies and coming up to the time even of Joab when Solomon said, kill him because we've got a blood libel against us. God was simply pointing out that charge of innocent blood all the way through the Old Testament was pointing to one day the perfect Lamb of God and the, not one of many kinds of blood, but the innocent blood that was shed purposely on the cross of Calvary. Do you understand that God was offended over innocent blood being shed because it was a type and a picture that one day Jesus would shed his innocent blood on the cross of Calvary? Do you understand whose blood was shed on the cross of Calvary? I won't turn to it for time, but if you were to go to Acts chapter 20, you'd read where Paul was saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders. And he said to them, he said, feed the church of God in whom God's made you overseers. who he purchased with his own blood. Amen. Whose blood was it? God's blood. His own blood. He told those Ephesian elders, God purchased the church with his own blood. Then what blood was it that was shed on the cross of Calvary? It was God's blood, because Jesus was God incarnate in the flesh. Oh yes, and it was the innocent blood. He never sinned a time. He was taking my place. My sins nailed him there. Pilate looked for a remedy in Deuteronomy 21. He was trying to practice a ritual remedy to get out from under it. I want to say to you, you and I are blood liable for God Almighty, and the only remedy for it is to receive Jesus Christ that shed his innocent blood for the payment of our sin and gets us out of the debt, gets us out from all the guilt of the blood libel of shedding the innocent blood. Oh yes, what I just told you can be a blessing or a curse to you. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a blessing. Your sins are paid for. If you reject him, you're under the curse of the charge of shedding the innocent blood. Oh yes, my friend, there's more to it than you think. You read in Hebrews chapter 10 where God makes a statement. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that under those that despised Moses' law were slain under two or three witnesses. But he goes on to say, how much sore punishment do you think those worthy that will trample underfoot the Son of God and count the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? To reject Jesus Christ is to reject the blood of the covenant, count it an unholy thing. And how much sore punishment, great punishment, to face God under the charge of blood libel. You're liable for it because your sins and my sins nailed him to the cross. The remedy, receive Christ as your Savior. Let him be a blessing to you, and let your sin debt, your guilt, be paid, removed from off of you. But to reject him is to face God Almighty under the charge that you trampled the blood of my Son underfoot. Oh, you know, today we won't see folks saved so bad. We just tell them, believe on Jesus. And yes, that's part of it. But do you understand the cost of not believing on him? Do you understand the cost of not receiving him? Understand the cost of rejecting the payment God made at Calvary when God's blood was shed for your sin? Bible says it's an awful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. God is angry. He was angry at individuals in the Bible and nations in the Bible that libeled his blood. This morning, I tell you very seriously, it's not a light thing to walk out and say no to Jesus Christ for the price that he paid when he shed his blood for your sins. Let's bow our heads, please.